Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. What a tremendous Friday to you. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Man, this is a good day. Today's Friday. All day. That's why you heard the deck of yeah. I know it's Friday because I heard the deck of yeah. I heard Bill Belichick say, today's Friday. The flight deck. Today's James Friday. Kelly is in the house. It must be Friday. No, Rome. It's not, man. What's up with you? Wake up. It's Thursday. Not for me, it's not. I'm off tomorrow. Today is my Friday. If I'm wearing my denim and I backed it in and Big Head Flight Deck is in the building and I heard a deck of yeah, then it must be Friday. There you go. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. The reason it is Friday is because I'm flying to Wisconsin after the program to take part, and I'm very, very pleased to say, take part in the program of Guarding Against Cancer. Greg Gard, the head basketball coach of Wisconsin, and his family have this amazing program, and I'm going to be a part of that program. So that is Saturday night, so I'm off tomorrow. There are festivities there tomorrow as well, so I'm taking tomorrow off. Today is my Friday. Let's go hard. You know what
Today's
that means.
Friday.
Today is Friday, and we'll have the 4 days that were. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Always email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The show sets up like this. One of those days, once again, where we go back-to-back in hour number one. Two interviews. Coming up next segment, we have a Kentucky Derby preview. SI senior writer Tim Layden joins me. After that, Chris Haynes, a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. Second hour is wide open. In hour number three, I've got an in-studio guest, Los Angeles Angels outfielder Brian Goodwin. And that is coming up in the third hour. Alvy's famous. Young man, why is your eyebrow furrowed? You, Alvy, you're doing this. Alvy's famous. Famous and renowned 4 days that were. Coming up later on. All right, so that's what it looks like. Let me start with the NBA. Like game two of Houston Golden State the night before, game two of Portland Denver wasn't all that much to watch. Like, Portland did not play its best game in game one, and yet they still felt like they had a chance, and they let that game get away. So they come out in game two, and Damian Lillard goes 1-for-7 from deep. Dame had 14 points on 17 shots. That's got to be a loss for Portland, right? There's no way you win on the road without your leader and superstar having a superstar-type night, right? Wrong. Portland is different. As great as Dame has been, they're not a one-man team. This team is brass. He's got help. He trusts that help. And even on a night when his shots aren't falling, the defense still has to respect him, which is going to open things up for guys around him. And Dame is going to find them, and he did. Guys like CJ McCollum, 20 points, 6 assists, and absurd shots like this one.
Dame has it. Gives out to CJ. Head fake and a drive. Floats it up from the elbow, and it rims around and in.
That's a big-time shot. A leap and leaner, if you will, from 15 by CJ.
That was a big-time shot. Speaking of big-time shots, Rodney Hood, 15 points off the bench, including this dagger with the shot clock winding down.
Dame dribbles, 5 to shoot, drives, close, whoa, throws it to the corner. Three-pointer from Hood, buries it from the corner. Huge assist from Dame, bigger three from Hood.
Credit Blazers Radio, big-time shot. And then you end up with 6 guys overall in double figures, a 97-90 win on the road when their star was having an off night. That is so big. Almost any other team watches their star struggle with his shot, and then they do just that. They watch, and they struggle also, and they lose. Then they go down 2-0. Not the Blazers. These guys are different. They've got serious grit. Again, that's not a game that they're supposed to win. That's not a game Portland is supposed to win. Then again, they weren't supposed to win in the first round. Nobody outside their locker room thought they were going to do anything in these playoffs without Nurk. Nobody thought they would, and everybody was wrong. They do what they're supposed to do, and now they're ripping the home court, and they're going back with that all-important split. It's strong, but it does not mean the series is over, because it's not. You know Denver's not going anywhere. They're not going away. 2 games into the second round of the NBA playoffs, and there's a theme emerging. Like, this might not be the best NBA playoffs in a long time, but it's definitely the bloodiest. Steph Curry's saw finger, James Harden's bleeding eyes, all that was bad. But Denver's Torrey Craig is about to blow right by both of them. Let's go to early in the second quarter. Portland is at the free throw line. The shot's missed. Craig hits the deck. Doesn't look so bad initially. In fact, looks kind of innocuous initially. That kind of a collision happens all the time.
Nuggets guard Torrey Craig being helped off the floor. He was bleeding quite a bit. It looked like Collins' elbow caught Torrey Craig somewhere in the face. And then as Craig was falling to the floor, his head then hit the back of the foot of Monte Morris. And I couldn't tell if it then hit the floor after that. Either way, there was a lot of blood coming from the eye of Torrey Craig.
Again, didn't look that bad initially, but then my man's face first on the floor and he's not moving. So that's no run-of-the-mill collision. And when you see it on replay and you get a different angle or two, it does look much worse.
Well, we watched Torrey Craig. He did get to his feet. He walked off under his own power there with athletic trainer Dan Chiminski, but a ton of blood coming out of his nose. And this was the contact. Watch Collins go up. The elbow comes across. And then, as he's falling down, hit his own teammate, Monte Morris. That did not look good.
No, that did not look good. So he takes a Zach Collins forearm to the face, and then on the way down, he appeared to bounce his face off the leg of his teammate, Monte Morris. So he's down for a little bit, then he gets up. But when he got up, I thought dude was hemorrhaging from his nose. I literally was concerned that he might bleed out right there on the floor and that they might try to apply a tourniquet to his face. You lose that much blood, you're looking at a transfusion. You get your beak hammered that badly, you're looking to get a reconstruction. And you can count on breathing through your mouth for a little while. And maybe, if you're really tough, you make it back in time for game three. Or, if you're Torrey Craig, you strap on a mask, you jam a little cotton in what's left of your beak, and you show up for the second half.
Look who's coming back on the floor. And a big ovation for Torrey Craig.
Good job, young man. Get in there and fight for your team. That's what the playoffs are all about, man. I admire that. Broke his nose, but he's willing to go in there and fight for his team, and that's what playoff basketball is all about, man. Proud of that young man.
I'm proud of that young man, too. That's what I'm saying. Not dead, can't quit. Busted face, who cares? Hammered beak, whatever. Not only did this guy show up, not only did this guy re-enter the game, he was eating glass, draining threes.
Nuggets winning game one Monday night, but a much more physical game two. Look at Torrey Craig. Man, take a foul. Coming back after that kind of injury. Got a rebound. Now he hits a three.
Yeah, they throw it back out to him. He just sets his feet, plants, and knocks it down. Face mask or not, broken nose or not. Young man made a big shot.
Macho, this is a huge Trailblazer house. But I got to respect that. And that's what I mean when I say this series is not over and Denver's not going away. Nuggets head coach Mike Malone was all about Craig and the way he kept battling even with that busted beak.
They were the aggressor in the first half. They were much more physical in the first half, but extremely proud of our guys in that second half. We fought. And I think Torrey Craig is the unsung hero of the game. Now, that guy's got some balls. He's got toughness. Yeah, I'll go to war with that kid any day. He leaves it all on the floor every night.
Man, that's so great. I love hearing a coach talk about a guy like that. Quote, that guy's got some balls. I'd go to war with that kid every single night. This guy does have a serious set, and it is contagious. If you have a guy out there with a crack face, and he's hitting the boards the way he was, and he's knocking in threes, hell yes, you're going to dig deeper. And this is why you better not say that that series is over. Big, big win for Portland. And they are going home with the split. And when they get there, their crowd will be hyped. That barn will be jacked. But Denver has Craig, and neither he nor the Nuggets are taking a single step back. So not only is that series not over, it's just getting started.
Now that guy's got some balls.
That guy does have some balls. 1-800-636-8686. That guy's got some balls, and today is Friday.
Today's Friday.
In addition to it, and if today's Friday, Alvin's 4 days that were are coming up later on. Other topics today. Kentucky Derby is coming up this weekend, first Saturday in May. You know that. Tim Layden is about as good as it gets when it comes down to breaking down that sport. We're going to have him coming up next segment. I want to talk hockey. Man, what an amazing story the Carolina Hurricanes are. Can you believe these guys? have no business being where they are, and yet they are killing it. We'll discuss that. James Dolan getting sued. And for all the right reasons, that story's coming up. Don't look now, but look who's coming back. The Red Sox. Talk about not dead, can't quit. We all love the Red Sox. So I've got a report on them too. 50 days until the smack off. Like that just snuck up and kind of bit me in the backside. 50 days until the smack off. 50 days until the most important smack off. And 50 days does not mean 50 shows. Nothing of the sort. And again, you know I'm taking some time off. So 50 days until the smack off. I want to make sure you're ready for that. This email, or I should say tweet, is from Ed in Austin. Van Smack. No! Blood. How could anyone ever play through such a thing? Signed, the NHL playoffs. War Lord Stanley's Cup staying where it belongs in America. Your typical NHL fan. I love hockey. I love the NHL. I love the postseason. There are other sports with other tough guys. There are other sports where guys can rise up and show that kind of grit. There are other sports where coaches say about their players, man, that guy's got balls. It's not just the NHL.
That guy's
tip your hat. Tip your hat. That guy took a pretty good shot and probably had a busted beak and strapped on the plexi, went back out there, and not only went back out there, but made a difference. Tip your hat. Tip your hat. Tim Layden's coming up next. Chris Haynes right after that. Open phones in hour number two. Brian Goodwin of the LA Angels in studio in the third hour. Alvy's 4 days that were also coming up then. Hey, listen, don't forget to thank the real pros on this Mother's Day. Where would you be without your mom? Obviously not here. Where would you be without the mom of your kids? Probably in a similar boat. Make sure you acknowledge every important mom. Pro Flowers will help you do that. Pro Flowers will let you choose from a variety of bouquets and unique vases that suit every single mom style. Then you simply select the delivery date that you want. This is so easy. Pro Flowers carefully packages your flowers and delivers them fresh from the farm. Express delivery means the flowers stay fresh. And right now you can get one dozen assorted roses for $19.99. On top of that, if you want, you can double the roses and get a premium vase for only $9.99 more. That's the thing that I do every single year. It always hits big. Go to proflowers.com. Hit the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my code, Rome. Proflowers.com. Hit the microphone, code Rome. Mother's Day is May 12th. Do not wait. Get this thing done right now. Get it off your list. Order like a pro. Get this amazing rose deal to thank all the moms in your life. Proflowers.com. Click the mic. Type in Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Got a great field, including Phil, Ricky, Rory, and the defending champ, Jason Day, at the Wells Fargo Championship this weekend on CBS. All right, we're going back-to-back in hour number one, as promised. We are joined now by a Sports Illustrated senior writer, an NBC Sports essayist, friend of the program. The Kentucky Derby is Saturday, 6:50 p.m. Eastern. My guest is Tim Layden. Tim, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, good, Jim.
Good. Now, Tim, normally this is the time where you and I would talk about the scene around the track, the vibe and the buildup to the Derby. But late yesterday came news that the favorite, Omaha Beach, was being scratched due to entrapped epiglottis. What was your reaction when you heard that news? And for those who don't know, what kind of an illness is that?
It's basically the second part first. It's just basically it's a little piece of tissue in the horse's throat that kind of flops up and down when to prevent the horse from inhaling food or liquid into its lungs. So it's just sort of a protective thing. It's not a serious injury, but it's something that has to be repaired surgically, and he'll be okay in a couple of weeks, but not to run the Kentucky Derby. And how I felt about it, Jim, it's like everybody else here. I mean, he was the favorite. His trainer, Richard Mandel, is a guy that everybody likes and who's never won the Derby. His owner, Rick Porter, same thing. So, I mean, I think the air kind of went out of the race for a little while, and it's going to take another day or two to get it back, I think. It's Yeah, that was the horse that everybody in the barns was talking about, that was just a little better than everybody else, and everybody was watching, and now he's gone. So whether you're a handicapper or a writer or just a fan, you're kind of scrambling to figure out what we got now.
Tim Layden joining us. You know, Tim, go back to Richard Mandel for a minute, because you know this as well as anybody. The thing about horse racing is, even if you have the favorite, there are a million things that can go wrong before the horses actually get into the gate. And Mandel is such a great trainer and such a class act. Everybody likes him. How badly does he want that Derby win, and how big of a gut punch is it?
You know, I saw him at Santa Anita about 10 days ago, Jim, and he tried to say the right things, which is, you know, I want a Derby, but I don't need one, which is accurate. You know, he doesn't need one for his resume. But, you know, it really is like a great baseball player who's never been to the World Series, an NBA player who's never been to the finals or won. You know, it's just, he said today, he had a little press gathering, and he just said, no matter how you look at this, if you're involved in racing or if you have even a passing interest in it, the thing everybody knows about is the Kentucky Derby. And it's just going to be a hole in his record, and he knows it, and we all know it, and he took it like a man, and he's going home, and he'll be flying Saturday rather than watching the race. But there's no other way to put it. I mean, the Derby is the one thing that everybody knows about, and it's the one thing, and Mandela never pushed his horses to get there, and he never injured a horse for the sake of getting him to the Derby. But, you know, this horse, Omaha Beach, was one of those kind of horses that was everybody talked about.
We're talking to Tim Layden,
and
you're right, Tim, and especially about Mandela, because he's known as somebody who does not keep a huge stable, and he does not push his horses like that. He always does well and right by the horse, so I know that's tough for him. What about Mike Smith? He was going to ride Omaha Beach. Where does that leave Mike?
Mike made a decision that he had a chance to ride a horse named Roadster for Bob Baffert. And he also rode Omaha Beach for Mandela. When push came to shove, Mike picked Omaha Beach. He thought it was a better horse, but also fit Mike's style a little better. The kind of horse that's quick on his feet, and Mike likes to get out of there, get out of trouble, and then control the race. So, yeah, Mike is heartbroken. I texted with him last night, and he just had a sad face emoji, and you know, just hugely disappointed, and knows that a decision he made went south for him, but he feels bad for all the people around the horses. There's still talk around the backstretch that somebody's going to try and cut a check and get Mike on their horse because he's available and he's the best rider in the world. And, you know, Kieran McLaughlin said today, he's another trainer in the race, and he just said Mike Smith is free, and, you know, the Derby horse winner is going to be worth $15 million the next morning, and you got to think about it. But Baffert is the guy that might have gone to Mike, and he decided not to. He's sticking with Florent Giroux, who's his rider on Roadster, which is a classy thing for Baffert to do. And now it's a question of whether somebody else pulls the trigger and gives Mike a ride.
He is Big Race Mike. Tim Layden joining us. Speaking of Baffert, Tim, he had said that without Omaha Beach, it's the most wide-open Derby that he has ever seen. Does that sound about right to you?
It is wide open, but, Jim, the other thing that's happening there is Bob really liked coming in here without the pressure on him. You know, he had American Pharoah, then he had Justify, and everybody was looking at him. Everybody was looking at him to talk. Everybody was looking at his horses to see what they would do, and he liked being here without that pressure. As soon as Omaha Beach went out, that pressure did shift to Baffert. He's got three good horses, Game Winner, Improbable, and Roadster. None of them are Justify or Pharoah, but they're all really good, and they all run really well every time. So it is wide open, but you know, I think that you could get a good prop bet that Baffert's three will all be in, like, the top eight. So it's hard to look past him. And after that, it is really wide open and really is going to come down to the possible sloppy track and the strategy that jockeys take in the race. It's a race where people can bet and make a lot of money.
Tim Layden joining us. All right, Tim, so when you look at the weather and the expectation that the track is going to be sloppy and the way the field is shaping up right now, who do you like on Saturday?
I mean, I kind of like a horse named Tacitus. You know, it's T-A-C-I-T-C-U-S, and he's trained by Bill Mott, who kind of takes the Mandela role now. He's a longtime Hall of Fame trainer, super respected, has never won the Derby, and he's run a lot of races at Churchill Downs, and he's 0-for-8 in the Derby. I think he becomes a horse that could really impact it. But Baffert has Game Winner and Roadster, and I think both of them are going to run really good races. So I would certainly think of all three of those horses. And boy, after that, you know, Jim, it's just, you could make a case for half the horses to be right there at the top of the stretch, and then it comes down to who gets banged around coming out of the starting gate, who gets six wide on the first turn, and it really comes down to what happens in the race. But I'm going to look hard at Tacitus with Belmont and two of the three Baffert horses, and you know, Baffert doesn't want to hear that, but that's where he is now.
Tim Layden joining us. We're talking about the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Tim, obviously this has not been the best year for the sport of horse racing. Safety has been in the news quite a bit. What do you make of what has happened and how the sport has responded?
Well, what's happened is awful. I mean, 23 horses died at Santa Anita this winter. There's been a lot of discussions as to what caused that. I think people inside the sport would say it was because of a lot of rain and a track that wasn't in great shape and horses that ran over it too much and got hurt, and just a perfect storm, no pun intended, of events that made it a really dark winter. But the result of that is that people outside racing are taking a harder look at the sport. And I think, Jim, you know, you've been in the game. You know that it's always an axiom that people in the sport say, when you race, horses die. And now I think people outside the sport are saying, well, why does it have to be that way? You know, just like with the NFL, we always said it's okay if guys get their bell rung, and then it's not okay anymore. And I think that's kind of where we're getting with racing. The sport is really slow to make changes, and they need to get a commissioner, which they're not going to get anytime soon, but they really need to take a hard look at the way people outside their sport view their sport, because sort of the tide is turning a little there, and their sport is in danger.
I think that's fair, and I think that's well said. Tim Layden, my guest. Tim, before you go, last month you were involved in the selection process for Tillman Scholars, which is a project started by the Pat Tillman Foundation. You profiled him for SI 22 years ago. What do you remember about that time that you spent with Pat Tillman?
When I met with the selection committee in Chicago that were picking a group of the Tillman Scholars, which is an amazing organization that you wouldn't believe the candidates, the things they've done in the military and in education and in their life. It's just an incredible group that Pat would be incredibly thrilled to be involved with. But when I think of Pat Tillman, what I said to the people that day was I met him when he was a college senior, and he impressed me so much with his honesty and his toughness and his forthrightness and his maturity that I said, if he never became Pat Tillman, if he never played in the NFL, if he never went to war for his country and was killed in action, he would still have made an impression on me that I would remember him to this day. Just probably one of the five most memorable characters I've ever encountered in my career. And, you know, I got a picture of him in my office and a card that he sent me framed on my desk. And just a guy that I will never forget. And it's just great that people close to him are carrying on his name and his legacy.
Tim, I mean, that is such high praise, and I really do understand that. I had the same reaction when I first met Pat. Really quickly, it's really hard to distill it into a few sentences, but what was it about Pat that made him so special and unique?
To me, it was his honesty. When I met with him, he had won Pac, it was Pac-10 back then, Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year and Academic All-America, and I tried to get him to talk about those things, and his response to me was, dude, I'm really happy to be an All-American, because I'm not an academic All-American, because I'm not smart. I'm really happy for everything that's happened to me in football. But if I start talking about this stuff a lot, next thing you know, I'm old news. So I'm just looking straight ahead. And to me, that was who Pat is.
He is a Sports Illustrated senior writer and NBC Sports essayist, a friend of the program. And the Derby is Saturday at 6:50 p.m. Eastern. We always preview it with Tim Layden. Tim, I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Tim. He's the best when it comes to covering that sport. All right, so the favorite is out. And if you pay attention to those things, Richard Mandela is the trainer of Omaha Beach. He's a Hall of Famer. Unbelievably classy guy. Everybody in the sport respects and appreciates Richard Mandela. So that's a gut punch. That's tough. Also, as he mentioned, Mike Smith got off of a horse for Bob Baffert to go to Mandela's horse. And now that mount is gone. So we'll see what happens to Mike. If you want to talk about the race, you know where to find me. When we come back, we'll talk some basketball. Chris Haynes, a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. Second hour, wide open. Third hour, in studio is Brian Goodwin and Alvy's 4 days that were. I want to talk about the smack off, which is now exactly 50 days off. Carolina is just tearing it up in the NHL playoffs. Whoa, there's Siri. All of this is still ahead, but first, here is a sports update. Andrew Bogish has it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Scary news here. The Boston Celtics official Twitter feed tweeted this, quote, Danny Ainge suffered a mild heart attack in Milwaukee on Tuesday night. He received immediate medical attention. He's expected to make a full recovery. He will return to Boston shortly. Further updates will be provided as appropriate. So obviously a very scary moment for Danny Ainge and the team, although the team says he did get immediate medical attention and is expected to make a full recovery. He's going to return to Boston shortly, and they say they will further update when it's appropriate. All right, 1-800-636-8686. My thanks to Tim Layden. We talked Derby with him. Chris Haynes is going to join me momentarily, and we'll break down the NBA postseason with him. And as I mentioned, a round and a half into the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's only one team ripping its way through the bracket. Rod Brindamore's Carolina Hurricanes. They're amazing. And so is that story. That's coming up later on. James Dolan getting sued. Last I checked, the 17-win New York Knicks were not in the postseason, so why the hell is their owner back in the news again? Because he's getting sued. You might wonder, why is he getting sued? That's the best part of it. That's the best answer. That's the best part of that. So I'll have that story for you a little bit later on. I mentioned in baseball, 1 month into the MLB season, all of baseball was watching and waiting and wondering, were the Red Sox going to snap the hell out of it? And it looks like they are. That's coming up. 50 days until the smack off. And 50 days does not mean 50 shows. That thing is coming so much faster than you could have ever imagined. Get yourself in. Be prepared. I've got a take on that too. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the phones. All right, so I'm efforting Chris Haynes. Yesterday, there was an ATP. Ask the pros. It came from Liz in Fall City. I thought it was a little bit harsh. And I'm just paraphrasing. I don't have it in front of me. But Liz said something to the effect like, hey, Rome, would it really kill you to hire somebody who was good-looking? My God. All the guys on the other side of the glass, Rome, are dogs. And then she was anti-Team Bake. She unwarred Team Bake. She called my entire staff ugly and unwarred Team Bake. And I thought, man, that's kind of harsh, Liz. I mean, really? Now she's calling. Let's find out what that was about. Liz in Fall City. Are you calling to apologize, Liz?
Well, Jim, I'm calling to clear a little matter up about some asshat sending an ATP yesterday using my name. That was definitely not me, particularly at the end where they unwore Team Bake. I would never unwore Team Bake. Why would I ever unwore Team Bake? I love Team Bake. I'm all about Team Bake. I love bake sales. I love baking bread, baking cookies, baking brownies, baking cakes. Baking is my favorite thing to do, and I do it all day. I even have a poster of Betty freaking Crocker in my kitchen. My kids only play with Easy Bake ovens. I will bake for my friends, my family, even if that fat ass Blake Shelton showed up at my house, I'd bake for him too.
Notice Liz did not take back the part about all of you being ugly, just that she's anti-Team Bake. All right, Liz, thanks for clearing that up. We will not be seeing you in the smack off. Anyway, what she's saying is, hey, hold up now, that was not me. That stands to reason. I thought that was pretty harsh. She called all the guys really ugly and asked, would it be hard for me, so hard for me to hire somebody good looking, that she's sick of looking at the dogs on the other side of the glass. So now she says it's not her. This email says, Dear Jim, great breakdown of the Blazers and Nuggets. As somebody who has been keeping his eye on everything happening in hoops, right now, I'm here to tell you there is no need to panic. Even if it looks like it's just a matter of time before it's over. Even if it feels like there is no chance to win. Even if the other guys have all the firepower, a boogeyman closer and the tape to prove it. I promise, I'm not worried. I just always sweat through 8 shirts a day. Signed, Sean Miller, soon to be ex-coach. Wore DeAndre Ayton, being the first draft pick, to get 2 coaches fired in the same year. That's going to be pretty interesting, isn't it? All right, coming up in hour number 3, also Alvy's 4 days at war, because it is my Friday. All right, let's talk some hockey right now. I'm efforting Chris Haynes. I can't find him, but I will. So let's talk some hockey. A round and a half into the Stanley Cup postseason, the playoffs. And as I mentioned, there's only one team that's ripping its way through that bracket. It's Rod Brind'Amour's Carolina Hurricanes. They're on fire right now. Rod the Bod's men are kicking ass. They're taking names. And if you're looking for the moment that this team turned into a monster, it's really not that hard to find. Game 3, round 1, 9 minutes and 1 second left in the first period. That's when Alexander Ovechkin's right hand caved in Alexander, or Andre Svechnikov's face.
Get the trainer out there. Hurry up. Get out there.
The punch was supposed to light the wick on another cup run for the Caps. What it did instead was put the freaking paddles to the Canes' chest. You want to talk about taking a freaking punch. The Canes literally took one of the most violent right hands ever delivered in the playoffs, and now suddenly they're unstoppable. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They're doing it against, or they're doing it at, the toughest time of the year against the toughest teams in the league. They ripped the belt off the champs in a Game 7 double OT win. They walked into the Islanders building. They ripped 2 more tight games. Then last night, back home, for the first time in 9 days, Jerk Nation showed up loud and proud. And believe me, nobody has ever embraced being called a bunch of jerks like these dudes have.
They're still not drawn. They're a bunch of jerks as far as I'm concerned.
It's Don Cherry. They love it. I mean, the more you say that, the more hype they are. They love that handle. They're nothing but a bunch of jerks. That all started with all their post-game celebrations. But then they go out and they stuff the Islanders in a locker. You want to talk about a perfect recipe for a playoff win? Check this out. Fast start. Check.
Kane sees it around where Jordan Staal picks it up. He backpedals to the blue line. Lays it off for Hamilton. Shot that goes far. Kane's to the side of it. They score! Early on, Teuvo Teravainen deflects in the Jacob Slavin attempt as he was all alone to the left of Leonard. And the Canes jump out 1-0.
As long as we're checking boxes. Demoralizing felony theft between the pipes? Why not?
Here come the Islanders. It's Eberle in front for Lenny alone. And it's out. Held out. McElhinney right along the goal line. What a stop.
Look at it. It's right underneath the skate. And then when he moves his skate away, there was some daylight for Eberle.
Yeah.
And that's when Eberle had a chance. The Islander bench jumped up thinking it goes in right there. There's a daylight. He whacks at it. And the glove was right there to scoop it up for McElhinney, but a great chance there by the Islanders off of the shot clock.
And a better save. And how about a freaking ridiculous penalty box to dump pass to one-handed catch to a breakaway snipe? I think I'll have one of those.
Now Jordan Staal goes out to challenge Letty. Shot right on as Letty laid it off for Ryan Pulock, and McElhinney makes a big save. And now the penalty is killed, and out of the box is Justin Falk. Catches it in on a breakback, and he scores! Justin Falk!
And then finally, a game-sealing dagger from Mr. Game 7 himself.
And the captain, Justin Williams, eases the puck up to Nino Niederreiter. Niederreiter fires it in. Leonard momentarily has a problem handling that puck. Sebastian Aho with the turnover on for the score! They score! The Carolina Hurricanes captain, Justin Williams, pops it free! What a play by Aho behind the net! And the captain puts the Canes.
Kick in a couple of empty netters, and Jerk Nation was feeling it. Then Rod the Bod walked into the room afterwards and delivered a perfect locker room message. You want to talk about a freaking boss. Rod walks in, starts his speech with, "I'll be brief, men. And then 30 seconds later, that place is electric. The buttons this guy's pushing right now are incredible. He's turning the Islanders inside out after the Isle took a broom to the Penguins. I mean, that's not some chump on the other bench making line changes, right? It's Barry Trotz. And Rod's flexing on him like it's leg day. And he's pushing 600 pounds around on the squat rack. This team is playing with crazy mojo. Crazy mojo right now. Curtis McElhinney made his first playoff start ever, and he's just a couple of weeks shy of turning 36. And this guy's standing on his head. He's dominating. Justin Williams delivering game winners still at age 37. And the Canes went from wild card to one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. There is no better time to get hot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's when you want to be playing your best. And there's no hotter team right now than the Carolina Hurricanes. And these dudes turned getting punched once. One punched into 100 gallons of premium jerk fuel.
Bunch of jerks.
Bunch of jerks. Man, bunch go jerks. Canes.
Go Canes.
Go Canes. I cannot be impressed. That is not what I expected. You never know what you're going to get in the NHL postseason, but that was not what I expected.
Bunch of jerks.
Bunch of jerks. Keep saying it. They love it.
Bunch of jerks.
Bunch of jerks running away with it. So that's something else we can hit on. We are going to move Chris Haynes to another jerks. Time. TBD. Come on now. Pick up the phone. Make a quality call. 1-800-636-8686. We are 50 days from the smack-off. Not 50 shows, 50 days. Literally, it's right around the corner. And it's the most important smack-off ever. Number 25. You can't win it unless you're in it, and you cannot get into it unless you've already won it or you've been invited. If you're neither of those things, you can get a golden ticket. But you have to earn that, too. I mean, I hate to be that bag who points at a calendar and uselessly tells you it's already May 1st, but it's already May 2nd, actually. We're already into May. This year is moving fast. Now let's go to Alhambra. Matt, good to have you. Matt, how are you?
I am great, Romy. Thank you for the vine. I'm from the fighting city of Alhambra, the kind of place where someone would actually leave your show to go work in the San Gabriel Valley. And I'm here to talk about the only thing in professional sports I truly care about, the beloved Blue, the Los Angeles Dodgers. From when I was 4 years old, my grandfather said, let me tell you about a guy named Sandy Koufax, through the 78 series when I was about 8 and watched Reggie Jackson get smoked by a rookie Bob Welch and go nuts. And when I was sitting on the right field sideline and watched Gibson jacket out against the A's and ruin them. This team is a team of destiny. Cody Bellinger is looking like Babe Ruth. The pitching staff is just getting their arms stretched out. The only thing that has to happen here is Kenley Jansen's got to make a choice. Does he care about his health, or does he care about that heart medication? Because it's taking 5 miles an hour off his fastball, and he's killing us. But if we get that our bullpen squared away, we are going to win the World Series. I love the Dodgers. Go Blue. Thank you for the vine, and I am out.
You got it, Matt. Thank you. Bro, you're not going to really come at a guy for taking heart medication, are you? No sooner than I mentioned that Danny Ainge suffered a heart attack. You're not really going to come at a guy for taking medication to deal with an irregular heartbeat, are you? Quote, it's killing us. He just said, hey, Kenley, that heart medication has taken 5 miles per hour off your heat. It's killing us. It's killing you, Matt. Matt. It literally could kill him, but it's killing you. It's killing us. Right. He has a condition of the heart. It's a pretty serious thing, Matt. That's why he's taking medication for it. Quote, you're killing us. Yeah, but it's killing him. Literally, potentially. I do like the way he started that call, though, that he's in Alhambra. The San Gabriel Valley, the kind of place where somebody would leave you, Rome, to work in this area. Some 626 pride. The Dodgers are more exciting and better than that call. All right, we'll come right back. Second hour is open. I am looking for Chris Haynes. when we come back. Let's talk Smack Off. Let's talk about the Red Sox and James Dolan getting sued. All of that still ahead. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour two coming up.